Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and because we are now 1 week out from Tesla's Q4 earnings report, Say Technologies has opened up the ability to ask and vote for questions for Tesla's Q4 call, so we'll take a look at that and some of the things I'm wondering about heading into the report next week. We also have new price targets on Tesla, including a new street high, price reductions in Europe, and some news from competition. Tesla stock did finish in the green today, up 0.7% to $850.45, but it did trail the broader market. The S&P 500, Dow Jones, and NASDAQ all outpaced, the NASDAQ finishing up nearly 2%. While we're on the stock, let's go through the price targets here. So we saw price target increases today on Tesla from Oppenheimer and Deutsche Bank. We'll start with Oppenheimer, which has set a new street high price target of $1,036 on Tesla. That is up from their previous price target of $486. So huge increase here, more than a doubling. Nothing too crazy in the note that we need to spend a ton of time on. It was focused on Tesla's opportunity with full self-driving, with Oppenheimer writing, quote, "While we continue to have misgivings about risks related to Tesla not incorporating LiDAR into its vehicles yet, we believe the learning cycles enabled by having over 1 million vehicles on the road is an extraordinary advantage. We continue to believe best practices in vehicle safety point to 6 billion test miles being necessary to validate level 4 plus level 5 advanced driver assistance systems. Assuming 12,000 miles driven per year per car, Tesla's shadow mode data collection can reach that threshold in about 6 months, years faster than competitors. This dynamic plus equity market multiple appreciation drive our price target increase to $1,036." End quote. So at the end there, when they talk about the multiple, Oppenheimer is assigning for their price target an 85 times multiple on 2025 earnings per share, which they forecast to be about $15. That earnings per share number is derived from revenue of $112 billion in 2025, which is currently as far as their model goes out. They've got $106 billion of that coming from automotive, $2 billion from energy, which is shockingly low, extremely shockingly low, and the rest coming from services. I focus on energy there because Tesla's revenue run rate right now for energy is essentially $2 billion. In Q3, Tesla energy sales were about $580 million, so that's about $2.3 billion annualized already from Q3. And over the course of 2020, even with the impacts of the pandemic, Tesla should be within 10% of $2 billion in total. So very odd to see that forecast. For automotive, that $106 billion, that's probably around 3 million vehicles. If you take an average selling price of $35,000, that's where you end up. So maybe, I guess, somewhere between 2.5-3 million. Oppenheimer doesn't show their unit forecast like many other analysts do, at least not in this note. As for Deutsche Bank and Emmanuel Rosner, they have increased their price target on Tesla from $705 before, now up to $890. Again, nothing too earth-shattering here. They've raised their 2021 forecast for deliveries up from 800,000 now to 825,000. And as for their longer-term forecast, this is interesting because, very similarly to Oppenheimer, they have increased the multiple that they are assigning to their 2025 earnings forecast as well. Remember, Oppenheimer was using that 85 times earnings number. Here, Deutsche Bank is using a 60 times earnings number for 2025. So even though Deutsche Bank actually has a lower price target at the end of the day, their earnings forecast for 2025 is higher. They're just assigning a lower multiple there at 60x versus Oppenheimer at 85x. So in terms of their models, it's a relatively small difference. Basically, that would boil down to Oppenheimer being more bullish on market sentiment around Tesla in 2025 than what Deutsche Bank would be. It's a relatively minor difference in opinions, but it ends up having a pretty big impact on their price targets. That's just one of the reasons that I think price targets in general are overemphasized. All right, moving on from analyst notes, I want to talk about questions for Tesla's Q4 call. As I said, Say Technologies opened this up today. So as always, when we talk about this, if you want to, you can go submit questions, you can vote on questions, but you do have to link your brokerage account. Obviously up to you if that's something you feel comfortable or not comfortable doing. And I also know that a lot of people in Europe are not able to link their brokerages yet. But if you are able to and you want to participate, I'll put some links down in the description. So before we get to the questions that I have, I wanted to discuss kind of the thought process that goes into it for me. I try to focus in on what is the most important for Tesla. And right now, obviously, that is batteries and that is autonomy. But because of the importance of those topics, I would expect Tesla to give us some information on that right off the start. I'd expect them to talk about how the 4680 battery production is going in a general sense, and then same thing on the full self-driving beta. So if we want to ask questions around batteries or around autonomy, I think we have to be a little bit more specific, because questions like how is 4680 battery production going or how's the full self-driving beta going would be really great questions, but hopefully they're already addressed by the time these get asked. I also try to find questions that either haven't been asked or haven't been asked in a while, something that gives us some new information. So for example, one of the questions right now in the top five is, what is Tesla doing to improve the service experience? And I think we already know the answer to that. They're trying to build out more service centers. They're trying to really grow the capability as well as the fleet size of mobile service. They've talked about partnering with third-party body shops. They've talked about keeping a stocked supply of parts in a more localized manner. And they've talked about improving initial quality. You may argue that they have not done that or have not done enough of these things. And if people want to use that question slot as an opportunity to raise the fact that, hey, we are not happy with Tesla service overall right now as a whole, I think that's fine. But I don't think we're going to get necessarily any new information from a question like that. So anyway, that's kind of the mindset that I approach this with. My first question is, can you give us a progress update on dry coating of the battery electrode? At Battery Day, Elon said, I would not say this is completely in the bag yet, as yields at that time were low. So like I said here, batteries and autonomy, I think, are the two biggest topics we should be trying to get information on. I think this will give us an opportunity to maybe get more insight beyond what they would give us in their general opening comments. And at the time I submitted this, the number one question was about the current as well as projected end of year and end of next year run rate for battery production internally. I actually expected that question to stick around, so this was sort of meant to be a tandem to that question. That question has now fallen off. I think it's information we'd all really love to have. I think it's actually a pretty good question, but it is kind of high risk because Tesla could just reiterate what they told us at Battery Day in terms of their goal for 2022. As far as the dry battery electrode, though, that was something that Elon was pretty open about at Battery Day. He said, since they acquired Maxwell, they're really on sort of the fourth iteration of the machinery, and he thinks by the time they're in volume production, they'd be on 6 or 7. And he said those revisions were happening every 3 or 4 months. So we're now past that point, past Battery Day, where it should be a good time to give us an update on how the next iteration is going and if those yields have improved. And obviously Tesla was feeling confident enough to talk about it, but Elon saying it's not in the bag, I'd just love to see how his thoughts have progressed since Battery Day. As far as autonomy goes, I couldn't think of a great question that I was confident that they wouldn't answer in their opening comments. You know, how is the FSD beta progressing? How are you feeling? I think those are general things that'll get answered. But I think JS did a good job here. This is one of the top five right now. He says, why are you confident Tesla will achieve level 5 autonomy in 2021? And why is Dojo not necessary to get there? It is a bit of a combo question. Generally, I think it's better to steer clear of those, but I think it presents a good opportunity for them to maybe share a little bit more that they won't get to in their opening comments. So happy with that question, I'm sure that'll probably make the top five and hopefully cover the bases on autonomy. So the next question that I have then is on solar. So short and sweet here, what is currently holding Tesla back from being the market share leader in solar? I think this one is interesting because SolarCity used to be the market share leader. Then Tesla was after they acquired SolarCity, but as they have adjusted their business model, they rapidly lost that market share lead. And now that Tesla is again offering the lowest cost solar, they also have the solar roof ramping up. I would love to see Tesla take that market share leadership position back. A couple people on Twitter noted that this might be a waste of a question because, oh, Tesla is production constrained. But that's actually not the case or shouldn't be the case because in the past, Tesla was delivering much, much more solar than they are today, even after the SolarCity acquisition. So over the last 12 months, obviously there's a bit of pandemic impact in there, but over the last 12 months, they've delivered 173 megawatts of solar. Tesla back in Q2 of 2017 delivered more than that in a single quarter. So it's not like they can't do more, they have done more in the past. Yes, a very different business model then, and probably with the help of suppliers that they're not using today, but I think it's worth hearing Tesla's thoughts about, and it provides them, if nothing else, an opportunity to tell us a little bit more about the progress that's happening in solar, because we did see quite a bit of progress from Q2 to Q3. Anyway, if you like both or either of those questions, I'll put the link in the description, and I would again encourage people to take a look not at just the top questions, but definitely the most recent questions and some of the questions that maybe just didn't have that opportunity to rise to the top right away, because there's still plenty of time. We've seen this change quite a bit in the entire week that we still have leading up to earnings. The last thought I have here is that I think Tesla does a really, really great job of communicating with shareholders. It's awesome that we even have the opportunity as retail investors to have a platform to ask questions. And Tesla gives us a lot of information. I mean, how many other companies can you ask, hey, how many units are you going to deliver 10 years from now? And they respond thoughtfully. It's a pretty rare thing, and I think Tesla shareholders are fortunate for that. All right, next up today, we have pretty significant price reductions on the Model 3 throughout Europe, varies by country. We'll take a look here at Germany for an example. Tesla has reduced the price of the Model 3 across the board, depending on the trim level, by 3,000 to 4,000 euros a piece. So in Germany now, the lowest price Standard Range Plus Model 3 starts at 39,990 euros after value added tax, down from a prior price of 42,990. I think the move here is really just to bring the exchange rates back into balance to where they were 6 to 7 months ago. The US dollar has been weakening relative to the euro, so 39,900 euros today would equate to about 48,400 US dollars. And if we do go back about 6 or 7 months, 48,400 US dollars at that time was equivalent to about 43,000 euros, the price of the SR Plus before this change. I think the variance in other countries might be a little bit different, but I'm sure Tesla has just as a whole reevaluated how they want their pricing to be set up for maybe the next 3 to 6 months across Europe and made those changes now based on the individual country's dynamics. Speaking of Germany, Mercedes today announced the details of their upcoming electric vehicle, the Mercedes EQA, which will be Mercedes entry-level EV. Including the 19% value-added tax, the starting price in Germany will be 47,540 euros. That's about 57,500 US dollars. Without the value-added tax, it starts just below 40,000 euros, which again is right around 48,500 US dollars. And it looks like the EQA will be eligible for 9,000 euros in EV incentives in Germany. As for the range, it's not the best. So they say 302 miles NEDC, 486 kilometers. NEDC notoriously overstates the range. It looks like on the WLTP test cycle, it's going to be about 265 miles. So my guess for EPA is probably below 250 miles of range. And that's coming from a relatively sizable battery of 66.5 kilowatt hours. So in this price range, it's not going to be the most compelling vehicle. As an opening price point, Mercedes, I'm going to guess it's not all that well appointed. But where it really seems to be lacking is actually on the performance. So the 0 to 100 kilometers or 0 to 62 miles per hour takes 8.9 seconds in the EQA. Now, it's not the end of the world. Not every buyer cares about the 0 to 60 performance. Some couldn't care less, but it's just kind of a shocking number to see for a more expensive electric vehicle these days. I've also read that the peak charging rate is 100 kilowatts, although I have not been able to actually find that on Mercedes' website myself yet. Staying in Germany, but switching over to Volkswagen Group CEO, Herbert Diess has now joined Twitter. We actually had talked about this coming a while back, but he came out swinging. He says, quote, "Hello, Twitter. I'm here to make an impact with VW Group, especially on political issues, and of course, to get some of your market shares. At Elon Musk, after all, our ID3 and e-tron have won the first markets in Europe. Looking forward to productive discussions." End quote. Not totally sure that's what he's going to find on Twitter, but best of luck to Diess here. I'm also not totally sure it's smart to poke Elon Musk right there, even though I know Diess and Musk are friendly, but certainly a good way to get attention on the account, which I'm sure was the intent. As for his comment on market share, few things annoy me more. Let's take a look at European market share once Tesla actually has a factory in Europe. Until then, that's almost as pointless as comparing the ID3's market share in the US with the market share of the Model 3. Global market share is what matters, and of course, manufacturers are going to prioritize delivering their vehicles as close to the point of production as they can, and for Tesla, that is not Europe. But soon enough, it will be. So that'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, January 21st episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.